So before the sermon time, and let us have a prayer, and then I will first of all summarize this message in English, and then we will go back to the Mandarin. So let's have a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thanks that you give us another opportunity that we can to read your word, to think about your word and your teachings when we heard it. So not only just put it in our mind, but at the same time we can also can put all our learning in action. So please help us, and we are always in the deficiency on that area. So please help us to be more alert in all kind of opportunities that we can testify what we have learned. And at the same time, we ask for your Holy Spirit can energize us so that we can know and have the power that offer us by you, so we can know how to exactly to live up to what you want us to be like. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So after you read this passage in Deuteronomy chapters 19, I think probably you will get a rough idea about what was going on here. Basically, this passage we can divide it into three portions. The first portion is from verse 1 up to verse 13, and the section is the second section is verse 14, and the last section will be at the end from 15 to 21st. So what we can learn from this passage, basically, we need to review our life and how we can live up to a righteous life that in our life. Honestly, not all the Christians, after we accept Christ to be our Savior, and then right away we become like a perfect man, right? No one is perfect, including me as a pastor. We're always on a learning process. We need to master what we have learned, and gradually to learn piece by piece from the Bible, and then we start to exercise what we have learned from the Bible. But a lot of Christians, that right now we have two misunderstandings about our spiritual life. First of all, we seems like very devoted to our Lord, and then everything we said, and before we have action, we need to focus on God's like directions. So turns out a lot of Christians, they do nothing at all. They just keep waiting. Hey Lord, please give me your revelation. So when I'm in seminary, you know what my lecturers told me, that is, if you say revelations, and I will fail you all the time, including your whole program. Why? Because a lot of Christians, they're always looking for revelations from God, and turns out they do nothing. This, it seems like very devoted, but in fact, it's a very passive kind of religious belief. Another extreme, that a lot of Christians, they said that because of no matter what we have done, no matter what we would like to do, just do it. As long as the things that we have done or we plan to do, our Lord have no stop sign show in front of us. It seems that this is the will of God. So do whatever you like in this world, and our Lord will like it. This is another extreme, because a lot of Christians, turns out they do whatever they like. They also show that this is the ministry of God, but in fact, they are self-serving. These two extremes cannot fit in the category we call a righteous life. So what through this passage, chapter 19 of Deuteronomy, we can learn it bit by bit, and how we can construct through the Word of God as a very like Christ life in all of us. So the first section is from verse 1 to 13. Basically, this section is talking about the cities of refuge. You know, a lot of Christians, they believe that the cities of refuge is for all killers. In fact, this is wrong. This is not a fact. Only one category can be able to admit into these cities is those people, they kill another person unintentionally. You can read it from verse 4. Very clearly state that. Only this category of people, God's people, if they commit a murder, they kill someone unintentionally, they can use this city or these cities as a refuge for them. Why? Why God have this plan? So that's why in the following verses, from verse 6 up to verse 13, we see the Bible try to pose two scenarios or two cases to let us to make a decision or how we can make up our mind who can use the cities. The first, of course, we have already mentioned, those people they kill accidentally. They without any intention to kill their enemies. But at the same time, those people or the person that got killed is the brother of the killer. So it turns out create a mess, right? When someone like your relative, they got killed, and you of course don't feel very happy about it. You want to revenge, right? So you can see the problem is when someone got killed and you want to revenge and another killing will be committed, and then turns out this cycle keep rolling without any stop. So that's why God wants to use the cities of refuge to stop this kind of tragedy. So it means that this is good. God has a good intention to build those cities. Another case here we can see is another person, he intentionally wanted to kill another person. So in verse 11, you can see someone at enmity with another lies in wait and attack and takes the life of the person. This is called intentional killing. Today we use the word homicide. This kind of people you can use, or you as a priest to monitor who can use the cities of refuge, you need to reject that. Because even though they get into the city, they can't have a second opportunity to hide inside, have their life to be extended. No way. What the priest need to do? The priest need to find out what exactly going on and catch this killer and send him to the revenger. What's the key points here? The key points here mainly show us God want us to work, live according to his will. What God want us to live according to his will is stop the sinning process. Carry on. At the same time, you can see this is very fitting the pattern in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, we notice that there is a statement highly to state, clearly state the God's will. What's the God's will? Is no murder. Thou shall not kill. It means that when we can stop any more killing, it means we have already served our Lord's will. So this is the purpose here. How we can, through our righteous life, to serve our Lord. Not just go outside and preach the word of God and say, hey, keep yelling at the intersection. Say, believe Jesus Christ. This is the way that you believe Jesus Christ. You know, when last summer, when I went to New York City, someone, they stood at the Times Square. You know where's Times Square, right? And they stood over there and keep yelling and say, believe Jesus Christ. About a few weeks ago, the same thing, when I saw it in Eaton Center, several groups of Christians, besides them, there are some Muslim, but different groups of people, they keep yelling that, hey, believe Jesus Christ. This is not the way that we call preaching the gospel. The best way that we can preach the gospel, fulfill the word of God, and live up to what we call a righteous life as a Christian, is through this. Stop any wrongdoing at the possible way. Any possible way. So after this discussion, how we use our righteous life to testify our Lord, the discussion is not stopped. When we go to verse 14, let me read it to you in verse 14. You must not move your labor's boundary markers set up by the former generations on the property that will be allotted to you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You see, oh, what's happened here? Suddenly jump to another topic, talking about like the allotment of the land, right? Is there any relationship? When you read the Bible, you need to think about it. What's the relationship? You know, the same rationale. The first part that we have read in chapter 19 is talking about like the Ten Commandments. If you commit any kind of killing, how we resolve it and testify our Lord. And here the same thing. You know, when the people try to move the land marker or the boundary marker, it means you are threatening other people their survival opportunities. You know, in the past, not like now. Now a lot of people, they can't understand it. When you buy a piece of property, you want to buy your home or your house, the first thing, you are not buying a house. The first thing you need to buy is a lot of land. If you try to move the boundary a little bit, it means that you threaten the survival opportunity of your neighbor. In the past, the society is based on farming. When the land is smaller, it means that you have less production. Once you have less production, less produce can be produced from your land, it means that your life will be threatened. The same mentality or the same rationale here. Lord prohibits all the people. They try to move the boundary marker because it's equivalent to killing. You try to steal the survival opportunities from another person. So this is not something that suddenly the writer, that without any ideas, just put it here. But at the same time, it's called feeding the Ten Commandments structure too. What in the Ten Commandments also told us in Deuteronomy chapter 5? Thou shall not steal. The same thing. You steal from another person by moving the boundary marker. Tenth commandment again. Well, I just told you that, you know, our righteous life can be testified through we work or we testify according to the will of God presented in the Ten Commandments. The last portion here we can see is verse 15 until the end of this chapter. It's talking about like a false testimony. And right away you will think about the same thing. In the Ten Commandments, what we have learned is, thou shall not, what? Do the wrong testimony, right? So the same here, in verse 15, starting from verse 21. Here has a case show us that someone that they don't like, or they have their own ambitions, want to get something from his neighbor or his friends or from his brother, so he tried to testify something falsely on his neighbor, on his brother. And what the whole passage tells us, the priest, God, and the judges, they gather together to have an examination on this issue and figure out who testified falsely. Once determined, very interesting judgment. Let us go to verse 20. Okay, 19. Then you shall do to the false witness just as the false witness had meant to do to the other. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. The rest shall hear and be afraid, and a crime such as this shall never again be committed among you. So you can see here, very interesting judgment. When someone tried to get something from another person through testify falsely, and his false testimony become revealed, and what is the judgment? His original evil intention get back to himself. And what is the purpose to doing that way? To proclaim this kind of activity is wrong among your communities. Hey, teens, you know what? You're in a school. When you try to testify your faith, it's not just like, of course, you need to invite your friends to the church. But before that, you also need to have a righteous life in your life when you are living in the school. The impact is not only on yourself, but the impact is also to those people surrounding you. When someone doing wrong and you do it right and reveal their wrongness, and turns out this is a way that you testify your faith. You know what, tonight is Halloween, right? A lot of Christians, they try to hide themselves in the house or houses, or hide themselves in churches, church buildings, and say that this is a testimony of our belief. Is that right? No. Can we use another more appropriate way to present our faith to them, that their belief is wrong? One way you can do is, other people, when they approach to your house, approach to you looking for candies, can you just not only give them candies, but give them the real faith? Testify your faith. Tell them what you believe. Why you don't celebrate Halloween in their own, in their way, in their ways, but which way that we should testify? We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and our life transformed. Share your experience. They will see it. The community tonight will approach to you, and this is the time. You no need to approach to them to testify your faith. So this passage tells you right away, through your righteous life, and then you can testify, serving the Lord. Let's prepare our hearts to receive the message in the full text and in the prayer. So let's have a prayer before our sermon time.